This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Tiger fans, we are back in play. Postseason baseball today in Detroit. It's been 10 years and 4 days since the last Tigers postseason game in Detroit. That was a 2-1 loss to Baltimore in Game 3 of the ALDS back then. David Price took the loss. We expect Comerica Park to be absolutely rocking today. Downtown, same thing. Opening day is great, but this is going to be better because, well, opening day is a party, and then there's also a game. Today is a party plus the game. So it's going to be a big day in Detroit, and I'm really, really fired up for it. And we hope the Tigers continue doing what they've been doing.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah. Just keep doing what you do. It doesn't bother me at all that it's undecided starter. I mean, I think in years past we would have freaked the hell out, and this is just, we've become accustomed to this over the last 2 months of baseball.
Yep, and the way they're doing it feels like taking a strategy that has been implemented sort of part-time, and they've turned it into a full-time thing. And it doesn't work without A.J. Hinch really being able to play the right card at the right time. All right, let's talk some Lions with the quarterback.
It's time to go inside the huddle with Lions quarterback Jared Goff. Brought to you by Ford, built for America.
Carson Anderson outside Comerica Park. Tiger baseball this afternoon. But, of course, we'll have Lions football on Sunday. Lions at Dallas. Time for our weekly conversation with Jared Goff. Chance to get caught up. First of all, happy birthday, Jared.
Well, did we lose Jared? 5 days now, so... Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, got you now. Yes. Sorry. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's coming up. It's in day after the game, so it's in like 5 days. Thank you. But, yeah, and you guys said talking football. We can talk baseball if you guys want with the big game today.
Well, I do. I actually do. I want to start with this. I went back and found your high school stats.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Do you remember your batting average in high school?
You know – So I played 2 years of varsity baseball. My first year was a sophomore, and we had changed to a wood bat league that year. So that year, my average is going to be low. My junior year was probably at least 300. I think my junior year I played a lot better. But my sophomore year, I was hitting a wood bat. I was 170 pounds and probably wasn't that high.
Well, I will say your junior year you hit 295.
Just shy.
Yeah. You had four doubles, and you had one home run. Do you remember the home run?
Oh, it had to be inside the park. I don't think I hit one out anywhere. I might have had it inside the park at some point.
Well, I have your fielding stats as well, and I saw you listed as a shortstop. Are you a shortstop?
Yeah, I played short my whole life, and I was a much better fielder than I was a hitter. I could have played in the field kind of, you know, anywhere in high school, but I was a good shortstop and got a lot better as I got older.
Okay, I've got your base running. You stole three bases, and it doesn't look like you were thrown out at all. So
that's right.
That's pretty good.
That sounds about right.
And you had one pitching appearance. Do you remember pitching?
No, I didn't pitch. See, you know, these stats may be wrong. You know, I don't know who was keeping stats, and I don't remember hitting a home run. I definitely didn't pitch, so... We could have I could have hit like 330. We don't know. You know, who knows
you probably did, right? In fact, it was 330. I have this wrong.
I definitely did. Shoot, it might be 395. That could be wrong.
Okay, that's what's right.
But the three stolen bases, I mean, that's what you should be bragging about, right?
That's right. I mean, they might have been pass balls. They might have been stolen bases. Who knows? But they count the same.
Well, I've heard you speak about this, and what I think is so cool is that they're calling themselves the Gritty Tigers. It's almost like this team has adopted your team's philosophy, and it feels like it's a real symbiotic relationship between the Tigers and Lions right now.
Sure, yeah. I don't think the word grit or gritty is exclusive to us in it by any means. The way they did it this year and the way they've done it the last couple of years and kind of built themselves to this moment was very similar to the way we kind of did it. And I think, you know, the last month or so for them has proven that and how gritty truly they are. And it's been fun to watch them now get in the playoffs, beat the Astros, and now get the reward of these two home games in front of these fans. They're going to get to experience it, and I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, A.J. Hinch mentioned the other day that that you guys have become kind of friendly over the last few years. And can you talk about that relationship with A.J.? And do you guys communicate while this has been going on with the Tigers in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I got to meet him, whenever I ended up here for the first time in the spring when I was traded here. And, yeah, we've stayed in touch and remained supportive of each other. And I'm such a huge fan of his. He's been great to me in our success and supportive, and try to reciprocate for him when they're playing well and even show him support when they're not. So I think it's been great. He's a great coach, and it's been fun to watch them have success now and be able to sit here and watch a home playoff game.
One follow-up on that, and then we'll get to football. You're a Cal guy. He's a Stanford guy. Does that come up?
I know. Maybe right in the beginning. Yeah, you know, I know. It was a hurdle to leave, and it usually is for me and a lot of Stanford guys. But, you know, a lot of times those guys aren't half bad themselves, and you can get over that pretty quickly.
Good to know. All right, let's talk some football. You got Dallas coming up. You know, for fans and for us in the media, there's been trips to Dallas that feel like things were not just. And last year, again, it felt like an opportunity was taken away from you. Does that put a chip on your shoulder? Is that something you guys take into preparation for this game, or is all that stuff overblown?
I think I talked about this yesterday with the media as well. Like, sure, you're upset about it, but you know, I don't think we were intentionally screwed. I think they just made a mistake, and those things happen. It was unfortunate, but I think more than anything, similar to last week, we had lost to Seattle 3 years in a row, and we're kind of tired of it. And I say the same thing about Dallas. We'd gone there now 2 years in a row before this, and have lost, and now this will be our third trip down there. And it's like, all right, we're kind of tired of that same old go down there and lose. So yeah, we want to change that script and find a way to win.
When you come off a game like you did against Seattle, and I know now it feels like it's been forever ago, and yet 18 out of 18 in that game, a couple of touchdown passes. You caught the touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown, who threw a beautiful pass to you. But what do you improve on offensively after going nearly perfect as an offense on Monday night?
You know, there's a ton. I know the stat sheet looks perfect, but the stats don't always tell the story. And in a lot of instances, it's luck on both sides. When the stats don't look great and you still feel like you played well and you win the game, you know, you're like, all right, you got unlucky on some things. And there was a little bit of luck involved when you don't have a ball hit the ground, you know, and sure, there's many things to work on, though, and many things to get better at. And, you know, I'm excited to go out there again and try to surmount that and play even better.
Is there a play that you'd like to have back? I got to imagine it's the safety, but I know you kind of mentioned something about somebody being open on that play, too.
Yeah, sure, that'd be the one. I mean, if I can just avoid that rush just a little bit better and maybe take one less hitch and get the ball out, it'd be a nice big gain to Tim Patrick, and game would be over right there, and wouldn't have to put our defense back on the field, wouldn't have to kick it to him and put all that at risk. So would like to have that one back. And again, yeah, sure. I mean, there's more than just that one, but that's a good example.
You just mentioned Tim Patrick, and Dan Campbell spoke of him this morning and talked about how nicely he is fitting in every way. And, I mean, I know how much you rely on trust with your receivers. How quickly is that being built with Tim Patrick?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. He has been a perfect fit. And he's unselfish. He blocks. He cares. He's a great teammate. And then he's competitive, and he's got great hands, and he's trustworthy on his routes. And as a quarterback, that's kind of all you can ask for. And has been tremendous. I think getting him on that dagger late in the game last week was kind of good for him and I to kind of get back in the rhythm. I mean, you think about a guy who hasn't really played real football for a couple of years, to get him back feeling good, getting in the rhythm. And I think it's just the beginning, and the sky's the limit for him and I. And I can't wait to keep growing with him.
I mentioned the St. Brown touchdown pass to you. When, now that you've seen it on film, are you even more impressed with how that play worked out?
Yeah, it was awesome. It really was. It was the perfect look, and he made a great throw, and, you know, maybe a little bit underthrown, but I'm not going to complain about that. You know, I'll make it right for him on the other end. He helps me out a ton on the other end plenty of times, so I had to help him out this time. But, yeah, it was a fun play, and I'm happy we were able to score.
Are you saying you went up and got a contested ball? Is that what you did?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to say that, but you guys can say that. Yeah, you know, it was, you know, he could have led me a little bit, but I slowed down and made it right for him. You know, he returns the favor for me plenty of times, so I'm happy to return one for him.
Frank Ragnow, it sounds like he's going to be back. We hear torn pec, and I guess we've heard this before, but it just sounds like he's a madman. He's going to miss as little bit of time as possible, kind of in awe of him, you know, selling Dan Campbell, I'm healthy, he wants to be out there, even with a torn pec.
Yeah, he's a super healer. You know, he really is. He's a freak of nature. He's a it's really impressive to watch him, you know, put himself through stuff like that and then to come back so quickly. And he feels good. He feels ready to go. I know he's excited about it to be back with us, and I'm excited to have him back out there.
Look, you've probably been playing football like 20 years in your life at this point. You've seen a lot of strange things that have been tough. Is there anybody tougher than Frank Ragnow?
Ooh. I don't know if I've played with anybody who's played through more pain or injuries than him. Sure. So yeah, if that's toughness, then damn right. Yeah. He is the toughest guy I've played with, and plays through anything, wants to be out there with his teammates, doesn't care about the pain, doesn't care about anything. He knew, I mean, during that Arizona game, I remember him saying in the huddle in like the first or second quarter, he's like, I think I tore my pec. And I'm like, well, are you going to take yourself out? He's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, all right, well, let's go. Let's finish the game. And, you know, ultimately it was a torn pec in some sort of way. And, but he'll be back. I can't wait.
Final thing for me, Cal hosted College Game Day and then played an epic game with Miami. I don't know. You were on the bye week. Did you take it all in from beginning to end?
I did. Yeah.
That's the sound of a heartbroken college football fan. Well, how did they do with Game Day, and then your thoughts on the game?
The game day was great. I thought it was awesome. I think that whole crew, and I don't get to watch that very often because I am, you know, Saturday getting ready for a game, but on a bye week, getting able to watch that and seeing that whole crew does such a great job. And then where they did it in Berkeley with the fans there, I mean, it was so fun. I thought our school showed out so great, and Marshawn was great, and the kid made the field goal. It was a lot of fun to watch. And then the game, you know, the game was great. It really was. They played really well up until the very end and unfortunately couldn't pull it out.
Each NFL season is kind of strange how things begin, and you see things you wouldn't expect. Kirk Cousins has thrown over 500 yards in a game like he did last week. Jaden Daniels, the Commanders, are 4-1. The entire NFC North division is above 500. The Bengals and Niners are in early trouble. What's been the most interesting thing for you outside of the Lions to notice about the NFL so far through 5 weeks?
Wow, that's a hard question. Shoot. You know, probably that, you know, I'm not surprised that the Jaden Daniels having such success with his assistant quarterback coach being David Blough. You know, it's a good friend of mine, and making sure that kid's ready to play. He's been playing
nice.
Great.
Nice. That's great. Jared, we appreciate your time. Best of luck in Dallas, and we will talk next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
There he is, the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff, joins us every week. What are you laughing at?
David Blough comment. It's great.
I mean, his guy, David Blough.
Let me think about that. David Blough. There you go.
There you go.